This is Impeachment, a daily podcast from WNYC. I'm Brian Lehrer. It's Thursday, November 7th. I'm wondering today what the dinner table conversations must be like right now in Kellyanne Conway's house. She's been on CNN this week defending the president on the Trump-Ukraine scandal.
No quid pro quo in this call in terms of the president.
But last night, Kellyanne's husband, the anti-Trump conservative lawyer George Conway, argued that a tweet from Rudy Giuliani yesterday proves that Trump committed an impeachable offense. Let's unpack this. Rudy is in trouble. The president's defense attorney announced yesterday that he has hired three defense attorneys of his own. Why? Because he's under investigation for his dealings with those two guys he was working for, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman, who are now criminally charged by the U.S. Justice Department. What did they allegedly do? They allegedly made illegal campaign contributions in their effort to get our ambassador to Ukraine, Marie Yovanovitch, fired. Rudy wanted her fired, too. So did he break the law, like Parnas and Fruman allegedly did, in trying to make that happen? So yesterday, this all got more interesting in a way that Kellyanne Conway's husband noticed. Giuliani hired these three lawyers, yes, and he wrote this tweet. The investigation I conducted concerning 2016 Ukrainian collusion and corruption was done solely as a defense attorney to defend my client, the president, against false charges. So Rudy's saying he was involved in Ukraine solely as Trump's personal lawyer. Very interesting that he says that now, because here's what he said on Laura Ingraham's show on Fox in September.
I went to meet Mr. Zelensky's aide at the request of the State Department. 15 memos make that clear. I didn't know Mr. Yermak on July 19, you see it right there, 2019 at 4:48 in the afternoon, I got a call from Volker. Volker said, would you meet with him? It would be helpful to us. We really want you to do it.
Very curious, right? To defend himself then, Giuliani said he was working in Ukraine for the State Department, for the U.S. government. Yesterday, after lawyering up, the first thing he does is tweet that no, he was only Trump's private lawyer. So why does George Conway say this proves Trump committed an impeachable offense? We'll get to that part with our very special guest today. And let me apologize in advance for the phone quality, but his content is really interesting and unique. He is Lanny Davis, the veteran Washington lawyer who has played some similar roles himself. He is Michael Cohen's defense lawyer. He was a lawyer for President Bill Clinton during the Clinton investigations. If Rudy Giuliani has been President Trump's TV lawyer, I think it's fair to say that Lanny Davis was President Clinton's TV lawyer. And he is author of the book, The Unmaking of the President, 2016, How FBI Director Jim Comey Cost Hillary Clinton the Presidency. Mr. Davis, hello, and thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me on, and what a timely moment since I stretch, maybe the only one that stretched the generation of defending one president on impeachment. And now we have another president who will probably go into why there are so many differences on this impeachment process versus the one that I was involved in.
What do you make of Rudy Giuliani's conflicting statements, specifically about his role in Ukraine as either representing the State Department or just representing Trump as a private lawyer?
Well, first of all, let's start with the statement that he represented Trump as a private lawyer when he asked the Ukraine government to dig up dirt on Joe Biden that, of course, only benefits President Trump in a reelection political campaign. It doesn't benefit the American people to dig up dirt on Joe Biden unless he says it's in the American people's interest for a foreign government to try to influence a presidential election, put aside whether Joe Biden is good or bad. So he's now saying that he asked a foreign government to interfere in our presidential election to help President Trump's political objectives as a private attorney, meaning that President Trump was not even arguably doing it on behalf of the American people, which is his oath of office, and what Alexander Hamilton described as his only definition of an impeachable offense, which is abuse of presidential power for personal, private purposes rather than for public purposes.
And that's exactly
President Trump's
to close the loop on
admitting that.
Right. So to close the loop on George and Kellyanne Conway, what George Conway tweeted yesterday in response to Giuliani's tweet was, quote, this tweet by itself establishes that Donald Trump committed an impeachable offense. To say that Giuliani's and Trump's pursuit of Ukrainian corruption, quote unquote, was done solely to protect Trump's interests establishes that Trump was not acting for the country. So that's how George Conway put it. It seems like you're in exactly the same place.
Yeah, precisely, but it's really too minimal to just say that. There are so many factually indisputable instances where Donald Trump committed an impeachable offense that the case is over. Other than Lindsey Graham and other deniers, and the word deniers has been applied in a most ugly context in world history. We have climate deniers. Now we have truth deniers about Donald Trump. His own words established in the summary of his telephone call that he asked a foreign government to do something that was political to help him. The Democratic National Committee was responsible for the hacking is about his political campaign. Joe Biden dirt is about his political campaign. That's in the transcript. You don't need a quid pro quo, which is a bribe.
It's in the transcript, and Trump allies all over the place. Gordon Sondland the other day, now Rudy Giuliani in this tweet, confirm it. Of course, when you say the case is over, the factual case seems decreasingly in dispute. I guess the debate in the Senate, in political terms, tell me if you disagree, is not going to be so much believers and deniers. I think it's going to be that Republicans will say, yeah, this was bad behavior, but it doesn't rise to the level of impeachment. You think that's what the next couple of months are going to be about?
Well, that's the last desperate refuge when a lawyer has facts and the facts can't be denied. And of course, they were denying the facts until all the evidence started to pile up. They were certainly denying that the transcript literally convicted Donald Trump of abusing his powers for his personal purposes by asking a foreign government to intervene in our election. That was being denied for a while. I think it was the president of the United States, the ultimate denier of all, who said, read the transcript. He has it on T-shirts at his rallies. The transcript establishes that he asked a foreign government to help him politically. So before we get to what an impeachable offense is, there's no denying that, even though he's claiming that it was a perfect transcript and Republicans obviously just spout whatever he says. Then the next thing that was being denied was the quid pro quo, meaning I'm not giving you aid unless you do this. Now that evidence is so overwhelming that even Ambassador Sondland had to, quote, correct the record, and now suddenly, oops, right, I made a mistake. Right. In other words, I committed perjury. Now I want to reverse and not commit perjury. Yeah. By the way, as a criminal matter, mm-hmm, you don't get to correct perjury. You get to ask for a lenient sentence because you realize you're not going to get away with lying, which is what happened. But the main thing is it an impeachable offense? And, of course, partisan politicians will never say that anything is an impeachable offense, and they'll vote no.
You represent Michael Cohen. One of Giuliani's new lawyers, Robert Costello, also represented Michael Cohen. Did you and Costello work together?
No. Rachel Maddow, are you listening? No. Costello never represented Michael Cohen. Let me repeat that. It is a lie that Costello, who actually, I believe, committed at least arguably criminal act by dangling the possibility of a pardon and sending Michael texts, you have friends in high places who love you, referring to Donald Trump in the White House. Costello was pitching Michael Cohen to represent him, then sent him a bill for $40,000 or something, including lots of hours spent that we couldn't even figure out why did he spend those hours. And Michael never hired him. In fact, Michael said, no, I don't want you. So can you break the news and get it out on the wire services that the idea, and I admire Rachel Maddow greatly, but she headlined her colloquy last night, her narrative last night, that now Giuliani's hired a former Michael Cohen lawyer.
Well, it's not just Rachel. Rachel,
100% false.
This is in other news organizations, too, not just Rachel Maddow. Yes. National Law Journal, Washington Post.
All over. It is 100% false that Costello ever represented Cohen. Indeed, Costello was lying to Cohen about the possibility of a pardon.
So Michael Cohen and Rudy Giuliani have this big thing in common. They were both defense attorneys for Donald Trump, who are both themselves now in trouble with the law. Cohen is actually in prison, as you were just describing, as his lawyer. Giuliani is at least being investigated. I'm curious how you see their situations as similar or different.
Well, Michael Cohen would say, and he did say publicly to Republicans, at one point in a very memorable moment, as I sat behind him, and I think it was Jim Jordan, Congressman Jordan, the most partisan Trump supporter in the entire Congress.
Congressman Jim Jordan.
Was attacking Michael Cohen. Michael said to him, it was a very insightful moment, same thing I would say to you now about Giuliani. I know what you're doing. I did it for 10 years.
What's he doing?
I lied. I facilitated crimes, corruption, fraud for Donald Trump. And I know his codes. When he says, no collusion, no collusion, no quid pro quo, no quid pro quo, does that sound familiar? His code is whatever he says, it's exactly the opposite.
People sometimes
say, he sees Giuliani doing the same thing.
And I wonder what's going to happen to Giuliani, because people sometimes say Trump has a reverse Midas touch. Anyone who gets too close to him, their lives don't turn to gold. They turn to something that's the opposite. Paul Manafort, Michael Flynn, go down the list. What does it say that even lawyers who work for Trump wind up in legal trouble themselves at this rate?
Well, in the case of Giuliani, this is a former U.S. attorney of the Southern District of New York who secretly, up until he was outed, attempted to extort the president of the Ukraine by saying, if you don't give us dirt and make a public announcement and use the name Biden and the Democratic National Committee, that's what his mission was. Now, he said openly he was doing it on behalf of Donald Trump, and that's a crime. So if that can be proven, Mr. Giuliani's going to prison.
I wonder if Trump will now throw Giuliani under the bus. Whenever Trump's associates get into trouble, he suddenly doesn't know them very well, like in this case with Paul Manafort.
Paul Manafort worked for me for a very short period of time.
Or in this case with Michael Cohen.
A very low-level work.
Why did
he
you
did
need
more
him?
Public relations than he did law, but he did stuff. You'd see him on television. He was okay on television.
Or in this case with the current Giuliani associates and big Trump donors, Lev Parnas and Igor Fruman.
I don't know those gentlemen.
Do you hear a pattern there?
Michael said to Mr. Jordan, who was drinking the Kool-Aid, Mr. Jordan, I know what you're doing. You're lying for Donald Trump. I did it for 10 years. So, yes, this is all very familiar Trump tactics.
By the way,
he was ready to throw his family under the bus at times, Michael would say.
It's even been
Donald
reported.
Jr., yeah. Donald Jr., he mocked openly as having, in front of a room full of people, the worst judgment of any human being is my son, Donald Jr. He throws his family under the bus.
It's even been reported that the reason that Lev Parnas has now said he'll cooperate with the impeachment inquiry is that he felt so snubbed by Trump saying that. Do you believe that to be true?
Yes, but he's also doing it to save his skin. Mr. Parnas is in serious trouble. It's not just the campaign conduiting of foreign money, which he's been indicted for, but it's also that he was part of a conspiracy to ask a foreign government leader to interfere in an American election.
Do you think the testimony by Lev Parnas, if he does give testimony to the impeachment committees, could hurt either Trump or Giuliani with anything we don't already know?
Well, I don't know about Trump because Trump is so clever. He doesn't ever explicitly instruct anyone to do anything that can be traceable back to him. So the answer to your question is, tracing something directly back to President Trump will have to be through the testimony of others who received more direct instruction.
Interesting.
And probably Rudy Giuliani is the only one who directly talked to President Trump. That's why on the phone call to Zelensky, do you remember how many times he would say, talk to Rudy, talk to Rudy?
Mm-hmm.
There was a reason why the godfather would say, I don't like that man. He wouldn't say, whack him. Well, Donald Trump speaks in code to Rudy Giuliani.
he followed the instructions. Now we have Rudy Giuliani throwing Trump under the bus by saying, oh, I was only working for Trump.
Interesting, because I was asking if you thought Trump would throw Giuliani under the bus. You're saying with this statement, Giuliani is throwing Trump under the bus by Giuliani saying he was only Trump's defense attorney, not working on behalf
no
of
doubt.
The government.
If anything in this interview is worthy of not sounding as if I am the partisan Democrat that I freely admit that I am, there is a simple fact. An attorney representing a client is not allowed to throw the client under the bus.
Well, how does that statement throw Trump under the bus?
Because he is saying, I was doing this for Donald Trump's personal interests. I was his personal lawyer. He wasn't saying, I was acting on behalf of the American people assigned to do so by the State Department. That's the line he took that tried to draw the line between the public interest and personal interest.
So he sort of
Alexander Hamilton said, that's the line between impeachable and removable.
Right. So Giuliani is throwing Trump under the bus by confirming that Trump was running Ukraine policy for his own personal advantage, not for the interest of the United States. Now,
it's a loquitur, is the thing speaks for itself. Giuliani has just said that in his own words and convicted, not just impeached, convicted the president of abusing his power for personal reasons.
Let me take a phone call for you from Melanie, calling from Kent, Ohio. Melanie, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi, Brian. Thanks so much for taking my call. I'm a longtime listener. I used to live in Manhattan, grew up in Ohio, and I have lifelong Rust Belt roots. I have a sister in Fresno, California, Trump supporter. I have a sister in Arizona, voted for Trump after voting for Obama twice. I have nephews here who are like staunch Trump supporters. And all I can say to all of this is just like we Democrats, we didn't change our opinion on impeaching Clinton when he was having his extramarital affairs. And all those women who accused him, in hindsight, I'm sure we all realized they were probably all telling the truth. We destroyed so many lives, but none of us, including myself, I say this as all Democrats, we didn't want to get him out of office. We liked what he was doing. And the same holds true with my family and the way they feel about Trump. And all I can say about this thing with Ukraine is the optics on Biden alone is enough to sink his election, because the reason people voted for Trump is because they think that both sides of the government are in the pocket of Wall Street. So they voted for Trump because they wanted to see real change. And all this proves is that Biden is his son. You know, we're still in the pocket of Wall Street and can be bought. It's like, you know, politics as usual. Now, that doesn't mean that I totally agree with what's happening. I totally believe that they're doing the right thing by impeaching him. He will not be removed from office, and it's not going to change anybody's opinion on Trump, just like it didn't change ours on Clinton. I hate to say it, but it's the truth. That's what I'm hearing, and that's just the way I think it's going to roll.
Lanny Davis, what do you say to Melanie in Kent, Ohio?
Well, first of all, it's disappointing to hear anybody who sounds as intelligent, rational, and balanced as the caller, that she repeats optics as a functional equivalent of guilt. There is literally not a shred of evidence that Joe Biden or Hunter Biden did anything corrupt. Not even a slight.
The fact that that's not that. It's like the political insiderness of getting jobs because of who your connections
so now
are.
We're
that's all.
Excuse me for interrupting you.
He didn't commit any illegal offense. It's nothing illegal.
So we're now in a world where even someone who sounds as intelligent and balanced as you are ready to say on the radio that he did something wrong because of optics.
He,
is that how far? You know, the last time we heard that in America, where we defended it as a reality that we have to accept, Joe McCarthy. This is innuendo, it's not fact. So let's at least agree with this degree. As to people's emotions who are for Trump, I respect feelings and emotions. You use the word feelings. I've never met a single Trump voter who thought it was okay to abuse a presidential power to fund military supplies to fight the Russians, contingent upon putting out a statement about a political opponent by a foreign government leader. You notice I stated a fact, not a feeling. When I ask a Trump supporter, is that okay with you? They will say, of course not. And then there will be a but he's still better than the Democrat. But at least I get people to admit facts and not feelings.
Last thing, you helped President Clinton when he was in legal trouble and politically in impeachment trouble. How would you compare the Clinton war room effort that you were involved with to Trump's defense of himself?
The apples and oranges isn't even close between what Clinton did and going in front of a grand jury and admitting to the truth to his eternal pain versus Donald Trump, who wouldn't even be interviewed, not under oath.
So very.
And there was never an allegation of abuse of presidential power as there is here.
Very different approaches to defending themselves. Attorney Lenny Davis, thank you so much.
Yes, thank you very much. Thank you.
By the way, for the record, after the interview we checked and we found an AP story that corroborates what Lenny Davis said about attorney Robert Costello. It says Costello was not retained by Michael Cohen, just that he had several conversations with him after the FBI raided Cohen's home and office last April. You can call and ask an impeachment news question. Just leave a voicemail anytime, including your name and where you're calling from, and some of you will hear your questions on the show. The number is 844-745-TALK. That's 844-745-TALK or 844-745-8255. Impeachment, a daily podcast, is excerpted from my live daily radio show, which we also invite you to listen to. It's The Brian Lehrer Show, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, streaming live then at WNYC.org. Have a great weekend. Talk to you Monday.